Grab your glasses or swig from the neck. Here comes the Plaidcast Amateur Lounge. We'll be meeting here weekly to bring you a listening experience like no other. Intended to nurture the amateur community and enhance the camaraderie that does exist amongst you. We'll chat with guests about many topics that just might help you on your journey. Your journey to becoming a better amateur and a better you. Have you heard? The latest issue of Plaid Horse magazine just dropped and it's full of all the goods. You haven't read it yet? For real? Well, let me just give you a tidbit of advice. You need to go to the closest horse show or tack shop and grab a copy before they're gone. Oh, you don't have time? So here's a secret that's not even a secret. Visit theplaidhorse.com, subscribe, and they'll deliver a copy right to you. It'll even have your name on it so you don't lose it. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but call me when you've read it because we're going to need to be friends off until you do. Don't delay. Visit theplaidhorse.com and steer clear of having deja vu of this very conversation. Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for joining me. Today, I'm speaking with a lovely lady from Oakville, Canada, who I know personally and think the world of. Carrie Thomas has been through more than many in her equestrian journey with her horse Romeo. And what do you know, she stands tall to tell the tales to us. From chatting animal communication to losing a heart horse and everything in between, top up your glasses and enjoy this introduction to my friend, Carrie Thomas.
Is being completely in tune and aligned to your horse.
Have you ever spoken to an animal communicator?
Yeah.
And?
I am the horse owner. I am that person.
Yes.
I just am. So I am that person because...
We're those people. There's no shame in it.
It's awesome. I am that person because, you know, if one... With Romeo, you know, he was 17 when I leased him. And when one hair was out of place, I'd be like, call all the shamans, call all the vets, just call all the people. We're doing all the things.
Yep.
And Scott and Ann used to just laugh at me and be like, you know, chill out. And I'd be like, no, I'm calling all the shamans and all the vets. This is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, actually, so yeah. So it's funny that we talk about animal communication. I went to talk to one. About Romeo and the beginning of season in 2019. And she said, oh, he wants his teeth done. So I get on the phone, I call the vet and I said, listen, you're going to say I'm crazy. I was talking to the animal communicator and she said, Romeo would like his teeth done. So she said, okay. And she came to do his teeth. And when she was checking his heart before she sedated him, she found his 6 out of 6 heart murmur. And that was the beginning of the end. So sometimes they're hit and miss, but the animal communicator actually, even with Romeo, so we found the heart murmur and we went through all of that. And even the week before when we knew that he was suffering with his heart failure and would have to put him down, I called the communicator 2-3 days before. Mm-hmm. And because I wanted my horse to make an informed decision about his end of life, and real or perceived, it was really helpful. And Romeo, he had things to say. He had things to say to the other horses in the barn. And even his last night, he stopped beside Cody, who I have now, and stomped his foot and shook and snorted and did his stuff. And I was like, wow, he is giving Cody a what's what. And he stopped in front of my husband, stomped his foot, shook, did his stuff. And I'm like, Dave, you better be listening to what he's saying because he's telling you things. And and the morning that we put him down, he walked right over to the spot where we were going to put him down and just waited.
Wow.
For the vet. Yeah, he was. And we can talk about that's a whole other subject. But.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. We've talked before about heart horses, what we refer to as heart horses, and Romeo would definitely be yours.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. You could take me through that a little bit. What's that loss like?
Oh, it's, I mean, it's like any loss, right? Like when you lose like a sibling or a parent or a function of your body, or loss is loss is loss. But mm-hmm. I think when you have a horse that knows, it's like that saying, right? You show your horse your heart, but if you sit quietly, they'll show you theirs. Right. And Romeo did not give of himself easily at all. Like he'd let you get on his back and he'd cart you around. But if you needed performance out of him, when he gave you something of himself, you know, you earned it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he could probably feel me puff up with pride when he gave me something, because he did not give easy.
Yeah.
And my broken bones and torn ligaments, and I can tell you, you know, I'll be feeling him for the rest of my life, more so on rainy days. So it's an interesting, and I'm kind of woo-woo about death and dying anyway, meaning I try to pay attention to my natural world, because I always like to see if I'm getting a message or not.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes, mm-hmm. You know, I had a girlfriend that passed away the same year as Romeo, and I get birds, I get cardinals, and I actually had a cardinal on the gate, Romeo's gate, when I went to go get him the morning he passed. And so I was like, oh my God.
I know somebody else that gets cardinals.
It's crazy. So, so I kind of feel, and I feel Romeo sometimes too. And I always used to say to him, because when it's a hard horse too, I don't know if you guys feel this way about your horses, but I would dream about him, you know, like I'd ride him and have a great day at the barn, or have a great horse show or a bad horse show. And I go to sleep and I would dream about him. And I would feel when I got to the barn in the morning, I would feel like he knew that we were in our dreams together. And I felt like we just had a continuous conversation. Sometimes I feel like he still is there giving me a nudge. I used to, when I couldn't ride him anymore, I used to call him the pony in my pocket, which is funny because he was 16'3" and huge.
Right.
And I used to say, "Where's the pony in my pocket?" And he would follow behind me and nudge my shoulder with his nose. And I go, "Where's the pony in my pocket?" And I get nudge, 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 nudge. "Where's the pony in my pocket?" Nudge, nudge, nudge. Even if he was free in the arena, like, because I'd walk around with him there too sometimes. And I get the nudge. And sometimes I still feel that, you know? So I just imagine it's him saying, "Hey, I'm still with you."
Yeah.
You know, we have our earthly forms, but energy's energy.
For sure. Did you feel any, this might be a little taboo, but did you feel any guilt after making the decision to put him down? Or do you think that having that communication with the animal communicator helped you through that?
Well, the animal communicator for sure helped, because Romeo said he was ready.
Yeah.
According to her, whether he was or wasn't, I go by his behavior. So every night the week before, I would let him eat grass until he was done.
Mm.
And even in the morning, and I had his previous owners come and spend time with him too, because, you know, we have this wonderful string that ties our hearts together, Romeo's previous owners and I, and I actually gave them some of his ashes too.
Nice.
So Romeo was suffering and his heart murmur was so pronounced and he was really having a hard time breathing and he was probably having a cardiac event every 90 minutes.
Mm.
I really believe that when you come to a point like that with an animal, it's about giving them dignity. Like for Romeo, he was a proud fellow and he was extremely dignified. The only thing that could adorn him were ribbons. Mm-hmm. So for him, I needed to do my best, right? He gave me his best every time he came out of the stall. And in that moment, I had to put aside all my feelings and give him my best. And my best in, you know, you're destroying an animal, you're euthanizing.
Mm-hmm.
And my best was being present for him, being present for his last breath and giving him the death that he deserved, because he gave everybody his blood, sweat and guts his whole life. And he deserved a good death. And I also was quite terrified because sometimes deaths are not good.
Yeah.
And I'm very careful about what I put in my head. Like I can't watch horror movies. I can't watch sad things because I'll just carry that weight and I can't do that. And I did not want the visual of a bad death to follow me for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And this is where I think the animal communicator came in handy, because I told her to tell him that I was terrified of that. Mm-hmm. And I would say that to the very last, that horse took care of me. to the very last, when he took his last breath and breathed out, he just went down like he was going to sleep. He totally took care of me in that moment. So, but I also was taking care of him because I was whispering in his ear the whole time that he was loved and safe. So that was my best for that horse in that moment. And I dug deep, I'm not going to lie. And as an adult, I can't cry like I used to because then my sinuses get filled and then I get a migraine. So like, I can't even, I just walk around feeling like crap because I can't always really cry. So, I also didn't want, you know, I was a little bit practical too. I didn't want the meat truck. I didn't want him to go missing. I didn't want his body to go missing. I didn't want him to be meat for someone. And I just, you know, I didn't want it to be just thrown away either.
Yep.
So I am the ridiculous owner that paid $3,500 to cremate his body, but I also felt an obligation to take care of his previous owner. So they also got boxes.
Yeah.
And then I also got two extra bags of ashes and I took one to the barn and Smiley, dear Smiley, who looks after the horses at the barn, I gave him the bag and my husband and I went out and I said, and Smiley walked through his paddock with the ashes, telling us where he would go and what he would do. Yeah. And I think it was important closure for Smiley to have as well. And then, of course, I took some to Caledon Equestrian Park.
Yeah.
And we put some ashes out there. And then, of course, I got that memorial stone that's under the tree now. And David and I did that. Like, it was interesting. I had a lot of people that said that, like, I could have had a funeral for Romeo. Yeah. I totally could have. Yeah. And people said, when you're putting that stone down, I want to be there. And like, I'm like, I'll just get party sandwiches and I'll get some lady water and we'll just all hang around and talk about our hard horses. Cause everybody has a story of a horse or a dog or a cat or a human that meant so much to them that, and like I said, loss is loss. So, but because of Corona, you know, Dave and I just snuck up there and
did our thing
and took pictures and had a moment. And I have some of his ashes. I also feel the need to take him everywhere that we went. So I took some ashes to Ohio when I went to Ohio and scattered some there. So people are going to find like bone fragments in their arena. How did this get here in their technical fiber footing? It's Romeo. So exactly. I have some in my tack box that I keep with me. I'm a weirdo.
No.
I also will be scattering some if I ever get back to the Royal. So I'll be scattering some there. So, cause he loved it there. So I'll just take some with me wherever I go and just
helps you keep strong,
scatter it to the winds. But
exactly.
I look for moments where he's with me and, you know, Cody, you know, learning to love another horse after losing your hard horse. If I didn't have Cody, I probably would have walked away from horses altogether. I would have been just done.
Yeah.
I couldn't even go back to the barn. I couldn't do any of it. And
I was going to ask you that. Is that something you considered right after losing Romeo? Just sort of not getting back into it again, even though you had all that closure.
Yeah. It was really painful. And it was something that I did with him, right? We did stuff together. I was fortunate enough that I could conscientiously have my last ride on him too, right?
Yeah.
And our last horse show. Oh my gosh, I wish I did this sooner. Our last horse show, I said, dude, it's awesome that we're in the lineup for the ribbons. It is great, but we need to be at the front of the line. And that was the day we won our first place.
Wow.
And that was our last class.
Right.
So our last show, our last class, we got a first place.
Amazing.
And I was like, damn it, I wish that I had told him to go to the front of the line the first time.
It brings a new meaning to ask the universe for what you want.
Yes. But Romeo, like he was like, I think I have a picture somewhere because I just got it. And I was sobbing, sobbing when I got that ribbon. Yeah, just absolutely sobbing. And that was our last. So, you know, we went out on a high note the whole way, everything. So
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. It's magnificent. But, you know, with Cody having another horse, I've actually just given him Romeo's halter. And I've actually just put on Romeo's bridle. And it's funny because when I put that stuff on him, he knows it's important too. So yeah, he's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. Hard horses,
hard to have, hard to not have.
D Walker always says there's no hope in horses, and it's true.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's true.
Well, there you have it, Carrie. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Good stories are good laughs. I've got a lot of them. I love my dust off my shame story because my coach and I laugh about that all the time. I think, you know, for trying to be an all around good rider, you know, it's like golf. You just got to practice, right? Mm-hmm. We take all these lessons, we ride every. So I have to ride 5 days a week so I can stay mobile. And I panic if we go on vacation because it's 5 days I'm not riding. And when I get back in the saddle, it doesn't matter if I run 5K every day. I am still huffing and puffing.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, fascinating as an adult.
When does it change? It was never like that when we were juniors, right?
When we were juniors and children, we were fearless maniacs.
Good point.
So fearless maniacs, not aware of our own mortality. And I think as adults, we don't heal and bounce the same way kids do. I used to fall off and laugh and get back on when I was a kid. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
If I know I'm falling, and especially after, well, I did have a really bad fall a couple years ago trying a horse after Romeo. And trying a horse, and I ended up with a head injury that I still have symptoms of. And I got an ambulance ride. And
those are the best.
My poor husband, when I came to, Anne asked me for my husband's phone number, which thankfully I could rhyme off.
Wow.
But he had to find me in like some, you know, remote. He's yelling from downstairs, exploring the countryside while he had to find me in the hospital. And, yeah, it was pretty bad. It was a really bad head injury. And so I'm terrified. And I said, the next time I fall off a horse, I will take every hair with me.
Oh, yeah. Clinging for dear life.
Yes. So I will take every hair with me. So, yeah. But I think, you know, when we think about riding and competing and, you know, just mentally prepared and going through all of the emotions that we go through in a horse show, we have to remember, I think, three things, two big things. One is, why are you doing it, right? Is it fun? Are you learning something? Are you having a good time? If you're not doing any of those things or it's not fun anymore, don't do it. Mm-hmm. Don't, you know, just hard stop. Don't do it. And the other one is, we spend all this time with our coaches getting coached and learning. And really, my whole mental shift has been with showing because I used to, you know, want to puke and I'd be going in to win. And I'm not going in to win anymore. I'm going in because I have 2 minutes to reflect back to my coach that I've listened and internalized their teaching. And that's what a horse show is for me now, is I have 2 minutes to reflect back to my coach that I've listened and internalized all their teaching. And that's, I still, when I approach fences, want to puke and say I can't do it, but I'm not so much focused on the win anymore. I'm focused on, because I'm also not, you know, one of the big guns that I call them.
Mm.
You know, I can't afford, you know, the really expensive horse, and I also haven't been at it my whole life consistently.
Right.
You know, I rode as a kid. I thought I was pretty good, and didn't ride I rode a couple times in my 20s. In my 30s, I actually tried endurance racing in my 30s. That was crazy.
Wow.
Who says, oh, yeah, I can go for a hack for 8 hours. No problem. Yeah.
My ass isn't going to hurt after that.
Oh, my gosh. I was working at a bank at the time, and I was on the subway going to work, and I had wore jeans with chaps. Hard lesson. Wow. I rubbed holes in my calves.
Unbelievable.
So I have like these gaping, open, bloody pus wounds, and people are on my legs, and I'm in my like banker suit going to the bank. And everybody on the subway is like looking at my legs, and I have to heal them because the next week I'm doing a 100-mile comp or 50-mile race I need my legs healed. So, and people were just staring at me, and at work, they're like, that's gross. I'm like, yeah, well,
it's what I do.
They got to heal before Friday. And then I ended up using my mom, God bless her, as a nurse, and she hiked the Camino in Spain, like 800 kilometers. And she said, oh, yeah. Yeah, my mom's crazy too. So she's like, use some moleskin. So I put moleskin over my open gaping flesh wound.
Mm.
And then I duct taped my leg from my ankle to my knees, because then I could protect my open gaping flesh wound and ride for 50 miles.
Yeah.
So that's what I did.
It's crazy.
It was not pretty. And you know, at the time I also had like really long fake nails too. And when I came in from that ride, I was trying to jam some electrolytes down my horse, and he literally held them all in his mouth. And then he looked at me on top of my head and just went bleh and like opened his mouth. And so I'm covered head to toe in electrolytes. Every nail broke off my hand. Every nail broke off my hand. And then I have my duct tape from my ankles to my knees.
That's a great visual.
And I was wearing my mom's running spandex pants from like the 80s because I'm like, I'm going for comfort here. This is 20 years ago, by the way.
Please tell me they were solid black.
They were, but they had some like bright peach and yellow on the side, like only you would do in the 80s.
For sure.
I gotta find them. And so like I was wearing spandex with chaps.
Oh boy.
I know. I didn't even care. And then of course I'm covered in electrolytes. So like, I don't even, whatever.
With 10 broken Lee press on nails.
Lee press on nails. They were like acrylics though. But so they didn't come off easy either. And then I was just like trying to like bite them while I'm riding.
I'm surprised that your fingers didn't all just break.
Oh my gosh. Me too. And then the next day when I get like home and the girls that I was helping, a woman, actually, her name's Yvette Vinton. And she was on the Canadian endurance team. So I was helping her keep, I don't even know how I was really helping her, but I thought I was by riding this horse to keep its FEI points up, but doing crazy things. And yeah, the next day I had like things beside my bed, like the phone, Advil and water, because I knew I probably wouldn't be moving the next day. So she called me at like 8 and she's like, how are you? I'm like, I can't even lift my hand for the phone. Like, this is not, I couldn't even go to work. And she just laughed and hung up. So, and then I had all my friends that had horses that knew I was doing it called me the next day and, can you move? Nope. Click.
Are they still your friends?
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Nice.
Yep.
I love it.
Yep. I think that's how we are as horse people, right?
Yeah.
So, yep. Oh, you fell off? Let me tell you my story.
Yeah. I think that we always ask, are you okay, before we point and laugh?
Yes.
Right? It's just the way we are. It's like a whole community.
We've all got war stories, and it's going to make us all walk painfully as seniors.
It makes us good people. Better people, maybe.
When I tell people, sometimes clients are, you know, so how was your horse show? Or why can't you come in? It's like, oh, I tore my MCL. And
it's no big deal. I'll be back in a week.
I broke my fingers. I can't type right now.
Or write, for that matter.
So, no. And, you know, it's funny. I have a woman that works with me, and she is paranoid every time I get injured because that means she has to come and work out of my house.
Oh, yeah.
And then double I'm on workload. Morphine. And then so, like, I'm awake for 2 hours. So I'm, like, telling her what to do. And then I take the morphine and I'm out for 2 hours so she can work for
oh,
2 hours.
Oh, wow.
Oh, she hates it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
She's traumatized.
I can imagine. Well, as usual, Carrie, I can't thank you enough for joining us today. It's always a pleasure. You are a star. You are really, truly a star. The light I never thought I needed, but I do.
I love you. You're awesome.
I love you too.
I just try to be 8. I feel like psychologically we are our best between like 8 and 11.
I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. And I try to take a page out of your book every time I talk to you. Like, so today I'm feeling hormonal. Yesterday was a write-off. So today I'm feeling hormonal. And my poor, lovely boyfriend, husband, partner, whatever you want to call him, fill in the blank. He's like, are you okay? And I'm like, no. And it's an instant ugly cry. And he comes over to give me this hug. And I'm thinking, I can't even control my emotions for 10 minutes. Well, he asked me if I was okay. How can I possibly choose to be 8 or 11?
It was a full moon this week.
Oh.
So you're on target.
I'm going to take that page. I'm taking that right out of there because I was like, and I say to him, I say, I'm not apologizing for my behavior because I have nothing to apologize for. But I understand that it's inappropriate and a little bit crazy. And I mean, I am like hysterically crying and all he does is hug me. And he just says, yeah, it's okay. It's all right. I get it. I get it.
That's
really
awesome.
He doesn't, but I get it.
I love Guy already.
I know. He's
I
amazing.
Love him.
He's
That's
amazing.
Pretty awesome. Sometimes we just need to be held.
God, isn't that the truth, right?
Yeah. I think about it too. Like when you're a kid and you're riding your bike, when you're 8 or 9 or 10 and you're riding your bike and you wipe out, your friend's going to throw themselves off their bike and sit beside you and cry.
Yeah.
While, or right. Or just sit beside you while you cry. Right. So yeah. We all just need to be acknowledged. And
it's what we all need in life.
Sometimes you just need to pull your bike over and have a good cry.
Exactly.